What's up, Toby? We made it to another week of the Process That podcast.
Here we go.
We're rocking and rolling. Today,
We are.
I want to talk about the importance of rituals as it
is a cult song, but something beyond. Okay.
How important rituals are in knowledge work process.
Yeah, throw on the chicken bones and that whole nine yards. It's not easy. You know, it's just like, do you wear the same pair of socks the whole sprint? Wear your lucky glove? What rituals? Maybe you're thinking of something different.
No, I mean, I think the one that most of us think of are the scrum rituals, like the scrum master. And, you know, that the scrum master has kind of fallen out of favor as of late. Yet they were kind of the ritual. They were kind of the keepers of the rituals, which were, let's meet and let's talk about how we're aligned. Let's talk about what we're doing. Let's talk about where we're headed. I think, with kind of how I went down this path is I was like, where does it break down? Like, when do we as humans just do the people being people type of things within work that actually doesn't really add any value?
Chris, I gotta interrupt you for a second because I thought we were starting off here in the direction of baseball season. And I thought you were gonna bring up, you know, all the crazy rituals and superstitious behaviors of baseball guys, or lean into the, you know, the Blue Jays and advertising that they were running around tariffs. But I love that you jumped right into the deep end of the serious pool. And so I'll forego the shenanigans and that whole rabbit trail that I was already starting to brew on. I couldn't let it go. I had to share it to get back in the game here. So yeah, scrum masters. It's interesting. You know, if we step back for a second, like just the generic term of what is a ritual, it feels like a shared habit, you know, that in a group would participate in. I got to say, you know, so many of the scrum masters that I've worked with, while they've been very either super effective technology leaders or super effective project managers, I haven't had the opportunity to work with somebody that straddles that line really well and can hold these shared habits of both the technical team and then crosswalking it back to the business team.
Yeah.
And so when you make the observation that perhaps this, the guy wearing this ceremonial headdress has disappeared from the landscape, I can't say I'm completely surprised, because it did feel like we've struggled to serve the two masters.
Yeah.
You know, it's a translation job that's not easy.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how I was basically rotating the owner of the meeting.
Yeah.
What's very interesting about that is that you learn that, like, the way that you do it is not how everybody does it, whatever that thing is, right? So ours is, you know, doing status updates or whatever in that meeting.
Yeah.
But you realize that a lot of times there's a lot of fluff filled in because we are supposed to do the thing. And we're supposed to do the meeting, and we're supposed to meet with our manager, and we're supposed to do the one-on-one, and we forget, like, is the purpose of this ritual being a meeting, like, is the purpose really to serve the manager and give them information, or is the purpose for the people in the meeting, to do the boots on the ground? And sometimes it's just not clear, and so we just do it because we've done it for years.
Yeah, it's really true. How many of these things do we do that are just habitual? You know, it's much like putting a bill on auto pay. It's out of sight, out of mind, and we just go through without really engaging.
Yeah.
Takes place. I think, you know, your comment about this new stand-up approach and some shared leadership responsibility, I think that's where classic scrum masters fell down, was that if they were very technical, they didn't lean into what are the business implications and who else needs to be involved. And so they would only speak into the technical team. If they weren't technically enough, you know, to manage a development sprint, then they oftentimes seem to be left outside of what was progressing. And so you and I are talking about it in terms of a delivery team and just how we use this daily sync up,
yep.
you know, to make sure that everybody's got the support they need, which feels a lot healthier than the very prescriptive scrum that, you know, emerged in the early 2000s. And there is one right way to,
yeah.
you know, one ritual to rule them all.
Well, and I think where it falls down is if you're just talking boots on the ground, the manager gets bored and or it goes over his head. And so then he's insecure. And so he has to say something silly, or it's just for the manager, which is, I need to have a status update, which is all CYA, right? And so if it's not serving both sides, if it's not a two-party agreement, then it just breaks down. And so I think it has the meeting, whatever the, we're talking about the ritual of, you know, a stand-up, but it could be anything, yep. right? It could be your QBR. Like if it serves both sides, it's going to have more value. So it has to be prescriptive, right? Which is like, as a manager, I need to know X, Y, Z. As boots on the ground, I need to communicate this, or I need to go and get help from, this is the problem I'm dealing with. And that ritual, I think, oftentimes breaks down because there is no, we keep it all in our head. Right? Where if you look at a typical scrum, it's basically just go around the room, tell a story. Tell another story. I think we can actually fill those meetings with significantly more meat if we simply were tracking what needed to be tracked, right? If we didn't just keep it all in our head, right? Which means let's go and say, you know, is our Jira hygiene correct, or is our hygiene? And it's not. I can guarantee you that. But like if we were able to just go and say, hey, look, what are we tracking? What are the metrics that we're tracking? So like we do delivery. So it's like, how many hours are our delivery team doing? Are we looking at that every day? It takes 20 seconds to look at that and say, oh yeah, look, you are filling out you are doing what we've asked, which is fill out your time.
Yeah. Chris, I think it's really interesting too. And when we think about this idea of ritual, what I was thinking about as you were saying that, it really made me think about what's our objective? What's the desired outcome that we're working toward? And as I often do, dating myself, you know, one of the most effective teams I worked with was in the early 2000s. And this was a manager that used a whiteboard to track what we were signing up for. I was doing sales operations. And it was really as simple as just who made this request of our team, what's the request, and then who's got the rock. And we'd grab a cup of coffee, we'd look at the board together, and it wasn't even every day.
Yeah.
It was usually like, hey, I've got some updates I have to give today. Can you guys just verbally give me some updates? But we'd do this two or three times through the week, depending on how big and messy stuff was. But what was fascinating was, to your point, we knew why we were convening.
Yep.
And it's like, as a team, we have to represent how much or how little capacity we have and whether we're still on track.
Yep.
And that's all he really needed to know. But when he left that room, he was prepared to defend his resources to say, my team is fully deployed or my team has capacity. What's that next highest priority?
Yep.
But it let us stay focused on the work, instead of having people do flybys and make requests. You know, we don't have that much in a virtual world, and yet Slack is the modern flyby, you know, where it's like, hey, Chris, could you pause everything you're doing today and give me, you know, 5 hours of your attention? Well, so let's talk about, so you've implemented this new ritual with the delivery team where you guys are rotating the facilitation responsibilities.
Yep.
What are you starting to see as terms, you know, as this starts to evolve, changing habits here?
It's been very positive, mostly because it basically sheds a light on how loose the ritual is. Meaning, what dashboard do I go to, right? Like very, very tactical things when you hand it off to someone else and it's not defined, like, it's very difficult for the people running the meeting. It's like, oh no, you got to go click on this thing. And then they're like, okay, now I'm oriented because we've gone through this thing. But some of it has to be very prescriptive. And I think most people are afraid to make those rituals more prescriptive because they change, because there's this assumption that the world is this changing mess that has to be managed. And if you have, you know, our standups are 3 times a week, where if you have this standup and you're following your agenda, if it changes, you just go update the agenda. It's not difficult, but it's very difficult to get humans who are going to feel like failures because they don't run the perfect standup. It's easier basically to not fill them with meat and just kind of gloss over everything. Like we're assuming we know what's supposed to be going on or what the status should be. And we don't realize that from our lens, oftentimes we're 90% covered. But if you go into someone else's lens, they're going to view it completely different. And you're going to be like, oh, I completely missed that. It's been really fascinating, because even one of the things that I said is I was like, hey, we're going to have a scribe. Right. Yeah. And my concept of what that scribe was that someone was going to basically write down operational action items and take them back. Right. So this is my idea. Right. Yeah. I throw out scribe. What happens is our colleague goes and actually starts taking notes on the actual updates. And I'm like, that's even better. And I was like, I would have never thought of that, but he took what I said and made it better. And so it was just this fascinating, if we all own the meeting, we're going to fill this thing and make sure that it's a high value effort, versus the manager owns it. He's going to talk at us for 15 minutes or half an hour, or an hour, however long this meeting lasts, and then we'll be done. Which is interesting, because I've had those meetings where it's like, all right, this is the put me in coach meeting. Where it's like, I'm going to do the rah, rah, rah. We're going to go win. I'm not sure what game we're playing or what sports ball we're doing. But like, I have had those times where every week you're like, oh, this is where I get to make fun of my boss or my boss's boss because I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah. Chris, I love what you're seeing evolve in introducing more shared responsibility. It makes me think a good friend years ago, and I've continued to share it, and too often I probably claim it as my own brilliant idea, but it was simply this idea of loose and tight.
Yeah.
And we don't want to walk into a meeting or a situation where everything's so loose that there's no parameters because we're lost, and it becomes a bit of a personality battle. You know, somebody tries to establish some order. Conversely, if it's so tight, there's no room for meaningful conversation that didn't make the original agenda. And then it feels like we pursue the wrong things. And so what I love about this is, you know, what I'm hearing you describe in terms of ritual is, let's be clear, or let's be tight around the recurring things that keep us focused and on track to make use of our time. But then let's also be loose enough that if there's nothing critical, we can jump it. Or if there's a new concept, we've anticipated that this is going to happen. And so there's a part of the meeting where we always ask, is there something new or something else we need to cover? But I think there's a comfort that comes from that repetition, kind of like the auto pay again, where if I know that every meeting has kind of four parts to it, even if I come in a little bit late because I'm not able to get off a client call fast enough, or I've had a hard morning, you know, before morning meeting.
Sure.
When I show up, I know what part of the meeting we're in. Yep. Simply because of that basic structure, the tight parameters that are always predictable.
Yep.
I feel like from a decision, you know, so many of us will think about being exhausted, and so much of it's our executive function running and over. And if we have to bring some kind of context or organization to every discussion, that's fatiguing. But if it becomes a familiar kind of meeting, if the ritual, right, this recurring shared approach is familiar, it feels very natural.
Yeah.
And I can just kind of glide into it.
Well,
so,
and the other thing is, the other thing that's interesting is we literally put this on a dock of like, what's important for our Monday meeting? What's important for our Wednesday meeting? What's important for our Friday meeting? And
yeah,
because the reality is like you go into a meeting and our brains can really only hold on to 5 ± 2, right? Like that's the capacity.
Right.
And so if you don't go back to what am I actually doing, you're just going to miss. And it's not like we sit around, not very many people sit around and think, gosh, well, how can I make my stand-up better? Like those are for the odd ducks that create a process that podcast. But
for example,
and sharing that for a friend. Anyway, but what's interesting about that is if you can have an agenda, you can make sure that you're hitting that thing that only takes 20 seconds. But you're just making sure it's done. And it's that tightening of those very loose things that maybe once every month is going to have an exception. It's pulling those exceptions so that your work can be more elegant. And I guess that, you know, to kind of put a cherry on this, it's just, if you're doing something ritually, you can actually make it better. If you just sit down and have some discipline and say, look, this is what we're going to do. This is what this meeting is going to be. These are the web page. These are the pages that I'm going to go to see if we're tracking, to make sure that we are managing the little loosey goose things as humans that we just drop. That it's not a big deal if we drop them, but it's a big deal if you wait 3 months and you've dropped 300.
100%. Here's what I love that you're calling out. Again, it's hitting me in a certain way today, but it's very much this ritual in service to results.
Correct.
So many rituals, you know, in our early life are without, they're mystical, right? Yeah. Why do I have to brush my teeth? Why do I have to go to bed?
Yeah.
And then we continue to those habits as we get older. And hopefully at some point we realize the ritual of brushing teeth is in service to fewer root canals, or ritual of going to bed at a consistent time is that we feel better. And so, you know, that results oriented ritual where there is an intended outcome and people understand the outcome. I almost feel like we do a better job of clarifying why we do things with adults so that then they can have the end in mind.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes if we continue to introduce rituals in the workplace the same way we do with our kids, right? Where we say, just go do it. Go put on your pajamas, you know, because I said so. Yeah. And that top-down model just always fails. It falls apart at the first opportunity for people to scamper.
Well, and it just kills safety.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
we lose
the
economy.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah.
Like if you go back, I mean, you know, we talk about oftentimes if you go back to our human ancestry, that ritual was really important for the person that was going through the ritual and the community that was performing the ritual. Like there was a sense of stability, a sense of security, a sense of let's go, like a sense of place, right? Which I think most people have lost their sense of place.
I think that's really true. Different from the ritual you're describing three times a week, one of the rituals that we do every Friday, as we do just a weekly check-in with the broader team, is this idea of recognition.
Yeah.
And I feel like every team has these pockets of final deliverable or breakthrough progress or exceptional conversations. One of the things I've loved over the last couple of years at Magibund Labs is that we do take a moment to celebrate and recognize one another.
No.
And I feel like, you know, to your point about not just for the individual, but for the community, I think that it's a bonding exercise where we get to just, you know, recognize somebody and give them a shout out. It feels good to be recognized, but it also feels good to acknowledge the good work of somebody else.
No.
And so, yeah, love this discussion about ritual. It's so powerful.
Cool. Thanks, sir. We made it through another one.
Let's do it. Have a great Friday.
See ya.